Today, the message is called Unfiltered Facts About God's Love. A few facts about the times in which we live. The times, they are a-changing, are they not? I had my iTunes give me a suggestion this week that just shocked me. It said, how about a throwback playlist? And I'm like, that sounds interesting. And the suggestion, and I'm not making this up, was to throw back to Justin Bieber's 2010 collection. For all of us over 45 years old, we know that that's not a throwback. I did not. I like the Biebs, but I'm not a listener, okay? Also, now in America last week, there was a survey that over 58% of registered voting adults, what does that mean? I don't know. Now feel like Israel is the aggressor and Hamas is the victim. I find that hard to stomach. But the times, they are a-changing. Deception is everywhere, as we've been talking about. But you know what hasn't changed? Contending for the faith. We are called to contend for the faith. And in our whacked culture, contending now is viewed as being not loving, not being nice. Therefore, if you are contending for the faith, some will say that you're actually being unchristian. Jude, verses 1 through 4, says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. It also basically says that we're to wrestle, we're to agonize. It's going to be man-on-man conflict. That's what it is. These things are in harmony, by the way. These things are compatible. That's what the scripture says. Yet, if we're going to contend for the faith, when you talk this way, you're decisive. You're divisive. You're quenching the spirit. You're not loving. You're judgmental, etc., etc., etc. I feel one of the biggest, if not the biggest issues we are dealing with in the deception surrounding our culture is what is known as the love of God. If God's judgment is upon us, how then should we love? How should we walk with Christ? And that is what today's Monster Scripture Dig is really about. And so we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4. It was going to be 7 through 12, but I just threw all the way to 16. Why not? Let's read in Jesus' name together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let these be your words to your children now. May we break through some of the deception around this topic. Give us clarity through your word, through your spirit. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So as you can see from this, our founding text, and we're going to have a lot of scripture today. That's why they're listed on the back of the bulletin, the weekly refresh, the handout you get when you come in the door. They're listed there for you because it's going to go fast. But we are upon a very important and serious topic, the authentic, true love of God. Let me just review for a minute, and then let's get into it. When I speak to you about being salt and light, when I warn you about deception, a deception that is spreading through the visible church and people who call themselves Christians, it's spreading like a virus. When I have talked about counterfeits, and I need you to realize that one of the key issues I'm talking about is the misunderstanding surrounding love and the love of God. Specifically, the truth and deception that swirls around God's love is one of the reasons we are in the situations we find ourselves in as a nation. I think very few things are as misjudged, misunderstood, taken out of context as the love of God and the love we Christians are supposed to possess and express. So let me start by saying this. There is nothing like the love of God. It is the most overwhelming thing I have ever personally encountered in my life. It's the greatest thing God ever did for any of us in this room, is love us. And the reason I can say that is because he loved us. He was moved to do so that, you know, more than anything else he's ever done, he moved to love us and save us while we were yet sinners. So I could just basically take the letter of 1 John, 1 John, I could just read that, and that'd be the message today. That's how powerful it is. But the little book has a fourfold purpose, and let me just show it to you real quick. That our joy might be complete, that it might be full. That's in 1 John 1:4. And that the next one is that we might not sin. That's in chapter 2. That we might know that we have eternal life. That's in chapter 5. And that we ourselves might love others. That's in our text today. See, 1 John is a great book of love. Love is mentioned 46 times in 135 verses. And you know what? It was written to combat a known heresy at the time called Gnosticism. Y'all know what Gnosticism is? The Gnostic believed that knowledge was power. They felt they had a special knowledge of God and his ways. And this falls down on both sides of the ditch of the road that we're riding on, right? We have many in our culture, and I'm talking about the churchy culture now, that believe they have or they need or they've obtained some sort of special blessing or a special revelation or special significance. John is writing to kind of put that idea to rest, to put it down. And he does, he tells the rest of us about a great God with a great love for great sinners. And that's called the good news, right? See, it's that great love of God, of the great God that we have, that I want to address for the few minutes today. And I want the Lord to speak to your heart as we consider the thoughts about what are the actual facts of God's love. So point number one today is this love is described in the context, getting the context of what the Word of God actually says. The entire context of the verses I just read in 1 John describe very well what the authentic love of God is. And you want to know something? The rest of the Bible confirms it. Do you know that the Bible actually interprets the Bible? That's what makes it such an amazing book. There are six factors to God's love, and I'm going to list them out for you with letters. Let's start with the first one. It is unspeakable. God's love is unspeakable. I can't understand it. I don't know why, but I know I've experienced it, and I can never be separated from it. Once tasted, you can't untaste. I can describe to you forever the ingredients of my grandmother's cookies, okay? I come from a Norwegian family, Grandma Wadevik. That's spelt with like four A's. Her cookies were the best. I can explain it to you. You can even compare it to other cookies you might have had. But until you taste grandma's cookies, you've not tasted it. And once you've tasted grandma's cookies, you can't untaste it. You now know. Follow? See, once you've seen it, you can't unsee how unspeakable the love of God really is. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation," man, Paul's on a roll, "will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then we get to letter B. It's unending. It's unending. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is eternal. It's not going to shut off. I'm not going to sin my way out of his love. It's not. He's never going to turn his back on me because I'm a loser. Letter number C. Letter number. That's an old, old mistake. I should sidebar it right now, but I'm not going to. I'll tell you about letter number B later. This is letter number C. Letter C. It is unselfish. It is unselfish. It asks for nothing in return. However, it leads man to repent and turn to God and love. Look up Romans 2:4 later. But 1 John 4:19, a little bit later in the same text I read you this morning. We love him because he first loved us. Letter D, it is unmerited. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. It's not deserved. His love is based on his grace. Do you want to see a scripture where you see Jesus' unmerited love? All you got to do is look at Jesus in Jerusalem. It's found in Matthew 23:37. Think about this now. This is unmerited love right from the king himself. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. E, letter E, it is unconditional. It is not based on what we can or cannot produce. It comes from the heart of God. Man can never reach a place where he will not be loved by God. God loved us first. He loved us anyway. What do you mean by that? You know, he loved you anyway. And he loves us eternally. And the last letter, letter F, his love is supernatural. His love is sacrificing, and it is satisfying. So what would be considered the culmination of all these six things, this letter A through F, this list? Well, it's point number two today. This love was demonstrated at the cross. This love was demonstrated at the cross. If anybody ever tells you that they want to, you know, deconstruct your faith, or they want to look into your faith. And so let's start by taking the cross of Christ and set it aside. Run from that heretic. This is everything. Verse 10 of our text, it says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means to be the atonement. That means to be the payment. You got a debt you got to pay. Guess what? You can't pay it. You'll never be able to pay it. No matter how much good you do in your life, you will never reach the level of what that payment requires for sinful fallen man to be in the presence of a holy God. Jesus paid that payment for you. That's the atonement. God's love can never be fully understood, but it can be seen. And it is best seen at the cross. A couple of examples. At the cross, Jesus stood in the gap. He stood in the gap. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took your place. You couldn't pay the payment, even if you were sacrificed. Your blood's not worthy. Only one is worthy, and that's the spotless Lamb of God. We worship him today because he's our substitute. What was coming on to me, he said, no, you stand over there, I'll take it. I'll take the hit, and I'll give it to you freely. Next, he saved us from hell. He saved us from hell. It is his death on the cross, the death that released his precious blood, that opened the door for salvation for every sinner who has come to God. Multiple scriptures tell us this is fact. We are saved from, some pastors will say, separation from God eternally, or eternal destruction. And dare I say, they used to say these phrases, which you're not supposed to say, because y'all are too big of wusses to hear it, apparently. You're not supposed to say, cast you into hell. See, at Fresh Encounter, we can take it. Why? Because many of us are now washed, cleansed, and made new, and we know it's true. I'm going to give you some scriptures anyway. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Ephesians verse 7 of chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. According to the authentic love of God is another way you could say that. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:12-14, this is a little bit longer one, but I don't care, we're gonna read it anyway. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats or calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works than to serve the living God? That's pretty powerful. Let's just throw a revelation in there for a little salt and pepper, a little seasoning. Chapter 1, verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The scripture interprets the scripture, people. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that wonderful fact, now we look at the point 3 of our message today. This love is found in the Christian. It's found in the Christian. It will be visible if it is possessed. This is possessed in the shadow of points 1 and 2, right? When you claim to have Jesus in any other context, you have a Jesus that isn't real. And therefore, you create a love that isn't real as well. Make sense? Notice throughout the Bible, there have been people who demonstrated God's love. The real love of God, not the make-believe one we have all around us in 2024. I'm gonna letter these out for you. Just letters, not number letter. Letter A, you will possess a forgiving love. That'll be visible. You will possess a forgiving love. Joseph in Genesis 45, 1 through 8, look it up later, lied about, sold as a slave, ripped from his home, his father, falsely accused, put in prison, waiting, all because of his jealous brothers. Yet he still forgave. That's just one of the, 50 incredible truths that you can pull out of Joseph's life in Genesis. And that can still be an inspiration for you today. Letter B, redeeming love. We have now been given a redeeming love. Sometimes it's hard to use it, but a great example is Hosea in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He's commanded to have a redeeming love for Gomer, who was a prostitute, yet he had a redeeming love for her. What an example to us today. Letter C, compassionate love. I think of Peter whenever I think of compassionate love. Peter denied him after he stood up and said, I'll be the man of the hour. And then he denies him 3 times, lied about him. Yet Jesus still said, on this rock I will build my church. And don't let any false teaching get into your head. He did not say rock as if Peter's this big rock. The actual word he used is like a little piece of gravel. Could be called a pebble. The right translation would be Simon, also known as Pebbles. Pebbles the Apostle. What's the point Jesus was making? You're still enough. You may be small and insignificant. You might be a tiny little rock. You might be a pebble, but you're still valuable. And I will build my church on that, and it'll stand up against the gates of hell. D, healing love. It's a healing love. And it may not just be physical ailments, but the healing that he gives is incredible. And this is maybe true about you possibly, but I know it's true about me. Angry, bitter, jealous, burning with lust, loving stimulants of any kind at any time. Yet Jesus reached down and picked me up out of that salvage pile. What about you? When you have that genuine love, you will read Psalm 103 verses 1 through 4 differently. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." God's love is immense. Lastly today, when the love of God is present in the life of a believer, it'll be visible in five different areas. Let me outline it for you. Letter number one. Love for the Savior, number one. Love for the Savior. John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." The church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, 4. "You have left your first love." What is that? That's love for the Savior. Number two, love for the Scriptures. Love for the Scriptures. It's a natural byproduct of being saved. John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Jesus said, the entire of the Scriptures testifies of him. And it does. Number three, you'll have a visible love for the body, for the church, for the sanctuary. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Some of us, our spirits are being pricked with the days approaching. It's coming. And so the love of this body grows, those of us who've called this our church home. And if you're visiting today or if you're watching online, we want you to make this your church home. Not because we're trying to grow a church, but because we know that we're stronger together. And we know that the love of Christ is here. There are people here that love the Savior. There are people here that love the Scriptures. So much so, they brought in a guy known as the Bible idiot. And number three, they love the body, they love the church, they love the sanctuary. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" I have yet to have a Sunday morning in Iowa where I didn't get up and just be like, "We get to go. We get to go to church. I get to talk about Jesus again." I had one vacation day. And by the way, they always tell you, and this is wise counsel, when you're on vacation as a pastor, don't come to the church. Be on vacation. But we got back Saturday night, and I woke up on Sunday morning, and Kevin was preaching, and I love when Kevin preaches. And I love when he tries to raise money and I don't have to. That's great. He's going to speak for me in a couple weeks here. And he was preaching and we were over at the house. And I'm just like, I want to go. And so we turned on the Facebook Live and watched the service. I love it here. I want you to love it here. I want you to love the Savior, I want you to love the Scriptures, and I want you to have love for the body, the church, the sanctuary. That's why 40 people showed up on cleaning day. Number four, love for the saints. Love for the saints. 1 John verses, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, as we finish out the chapter of chapter 4 of John, of 1 John, it says this: "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar," straight up, bada bing, bada boom. "For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen." Verse 21, "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Now, when this book was written, there were no page chapter breaks. His very next thought is verse 1 of chapter 5. Listen to how he just continues on the same roll here. verses 1 through 3 of chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And there's that last line. Please don't miss that last line. It says, and his commandments are not burdensome. I used to think, oh man. All right, you saved my mom and dad. That's great, but I got some partying to do. Doing all these commandments, this is a burden to me. You're stifling my mojo. No. When Jesus touches your life, that changes. And it may not happen immediately. It may take a while for the sanctification to kick in some of your areas, but you will know and see and feel that his commandments are not burdensome. They're actually for our benefit. And then you'll have a bent to try to do those things. I hate behavior modification. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No, it's my behavior gets modified because his commandments are no longer burdensome, and I just have this incredible love for the Savior, for the scriptures, for his church, and for the fellow believer. John 13:35 says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When the saints walk in love, then God and his love will be seen. And notice it says brothers. It's a little deeper, right? Chris, are you saying that you should have more love for those who are authentically saved than you should for the regular person on the street? Absolutely. And the scripture backs it up. That's why we have a family here. That's why people that want to come here and join us, yeah, let's do it. We don't have membership where we make it, you know, sign a card. It's out of love that Fresh Encounter exists. Last one, number 5, love for the sinners. Didn't you just say you're supposed to love the brethren better, more, deeper? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you don't love the sinners. Jesus had a heart for sinners. God's love is more than, you know, just being loved. It is opening our lives so that the Lord can love through us. Because we are loved by God, love kind of pours through us so that he can reach a world and bring it to himself. And he uses folks just like us. He never just leaves sinners in their mess. Jesus never did that. He offered deliverance, freedom from the bondage of sin. In context, I hope all this goes deeper with you today. We ought to praise the Lord today for his overwhelming love. Now, we can shout, we can run, we can turn flips, but the best means we have of thanking him for his love is by letting him love through our lives and reach others for Jesus. I invite you to join me today as I ask the Lord to help me love like Jesus. And every time I think of loving like Jesus, it comes down to having a spine to be able to tell people the truth. I thank him for loving me, and I'm sure you do too. But today, let's show that love for God by doing his will and being what he would have us to be. And by loving like he would have us love. By loving others exactly as we've been loved by God. Matthew 22:39, I don't think I have it in a slide, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? How do you conjure that up? You don't. God gives it to you as you're journeying on with him. And then you will be willing to share truth that sometimes hurts, then heals. But sometimes we need to be strong. Sometimes we need to be humble in tone. And sometimes we need to be bold and, dare I say, loud and up in your grill. Let discernment guide you. Today I've told you the truth. So please, please, please do not twist this into some quasi-love that leaves people in their sins, because that's garbage. That leaves people in their destruction, all because you think God's love is something that it isn't. And your feelings trump the factual truth I just shared. May the Holy Word of God speak to you and give you the proper action steps of what you've heard today. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. Our 34-piece band can come back to the stage. And I'm going to pray us out. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you and praise you. We are so grateful that we are still here free, and let your love just overwhelm us. Let this message be your words to your people, and let us just joyfully go, confident in our salvation and confident that you still are here to break through and save sinners like you did for me and like you did for a lot of the folks here. Let us lift up our voices now as we just sing this closing song. And may it be a time of incredible worship. We love you and praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Salvaged by God is the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Danielson out of Fresh Encounter Church in Harlan, Iowa. For more of Chris's teaching and a couple podcasts you might like, go to freshroadmedia.com.